Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Villante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with self-publishing author Michael Philip Cash, author of Stillwell, a story of a family's loss, a kidnapped soul, a demon, a haunted house, and a mass determination to free his wife's soul. Definitely a great paranormal thriller. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Michael. Born and raised on Long Island, Michael has always had a fascination with horror writing and found footage films. Earning a degree in English and an MBA, he has worked various jobs before settling into being a full-time author. He currently lives on Long Island with his wife and children. For more information on Michael and his books, visit www.michaelphilipcash.com, and that is www.michaelphilipcash.com. Hi, Michael. How are you doing today?
Hi, Susan. Great. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Michael, I love paranormal thrillers. I am the biggest fan of paranormal thrillers, you know, and it's just, I don't know why. Ever since I was a kid, I used to read all the Stephen King horror books, and for some reason, I am reading your book right now, and so far, so good.
So. Thank you. I'm glad the grading system's good, you know, going well so far. Good. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I also noticed on your bio that you have kids and everything. How do you handle being a paranormal thriller writer with, you know, dealing with the innocence of kids?
That's a great question. I got to tell you, that's the first time anyone's ever asked me that, but that's a really great question. I have a really strong support system, and I feel that, you know, writing aside, a family is definitely by far the most important thing. And if you notice a theme in my books, that I do write mostly about families and about, you know, going through hard times and good times. And I have to say I have a tremendous support staff with my family, from my wife, who takes care of the kids, you know, along with me. And, you know, I help out where I can, but she's the driving force in our house. If it wasn't for her, I'd be a wreck. But, she's a very strong support system. My brother and my sister-in-law, live around the corner from us. My mom and dad are about a mile away. You know, my mom especially, she's a big part of our home. And, she's a big inspiration to write these books. I feel juggling this, if I didn't have a strong family, I don't know if I'd be able to write these books. And having a big interest in paranormal, it took away. That's where I wanted to go. You know, it didn't just plop into my lap. This is, you know, I love that stuff, just like you do. With a strong family and support system. And the good news is the kids are in bed by 7 o'clock. I got youngsters. So, they're in bed by 7:30, and it allows me to write all night long. So.
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell this now because they're so young, but I'm an author also, and I have two grown-up girls.
Great.
They're both in college. And I find that I had more time to write when they were little than now.
Yes.
Because now they're just 24/7. They call me for anything, and I shouldn't be complaining about it, and I'm not, but it is time-consuming to have college kids more than youngsters for some reason.
I'm sure it does. I have a 5-year-old boy who just started his first year in kindergarten. I have a 1-year-old girl. She turns 1 in a couple weeks. And, you know, they're delicious. They're fun. They're amazing. And they're also a huge inspiration for me to write and, you know, create stories. And, it's fun every day. I mean, whether they're young or when they get older, I don't see myself not writing. You know, and I'm sure I feel for you. I'm sure that, you know, it gets more time-consuming as they get older.
It is a good thing to have a support group, especially when you self-publish. And so I'm wondering, why did you go that route? I mean, I see a lot of people don't know what to do, and I actually coach many people into, you know, what their situation is, and I coach them either way, whether they decide to go traditional way or self-publishing. Mm-hmm. So I'm always curious to find out what made an author choose the independent way.
Sure. another great question. Regarding self-publishing, you know, I've been a screenwriter since I'm 16 years old. I always wrote for the screen. I love writing screenplays and sending out my work and seeing where it goes. And I never really understood the novel world. I never, you know, I always wanted to write novels, and I never really knew where it would, you know, where it would take me. And I never wanted to look for an agent when it came to, you know, a literary agent when it came to, you know, handling self-publishing. Or writing novels. I read this book by an author named Michael Samuels. It was called Just Ask the Universe. I read it a few years ago, and it was very inspiring, to say the least. It really, it nailed down where I was in my time of life and where I wanted to be and where I wanted to go, and I just wanted to self-publish. It wasn't even a question of trying to find a literary agent. It was just, I was on Amazon one day, and it's almost, and this is what the book says, is that it finds you and you find what you're looking for. What you find, what you want finds you, and you find what you're looking for. It's just, so I put it out there that I wanted to write a novel. And on the bottom of Amazon.com, you know, the world famous Amazon, there was a thing that said self-publish with us. And I'm like an Amazonaholic. I love that website, and anything I want or need is always on there. So I scrolled down, I clicked on it, took me to this website called CreateSpace. And CreateSpace could possibly be one of the most amazing inventions on the internet. I mean, they take you from the beginning, from the inception of your idea, and they create your book with you. And it's inexpensive, and it's fun, and it's exciting, and it's creative. And CreateSpace is the reason why I'm here today having this interview with you. I wouldn't have even sent out, you know, letters to agents and managers and everything. I wanted to do this all myself because they make it so easy. And you bypass all the big, you know, the big printing house companies. And CreateSpace does everything for you. And they get your book right on Amazon because it's owned by Amazon. And they have expanded distribution. And they have Kindle. And it's fabulous, to say the least.
Yes, and I think that the best gift for writers in this world is the internet, because it allows systems like CreateSpace for messages and stories to just populate everybody's life.
Yes.
Because if you go only still with a traditional publishing system, it's somebody making a marketing decision on what should be read or not, you know?
Exactly.
And so I'm all for indies, too. I also went the indie route, and I think that everybody, even if you choose traditional publishing later on for a different book, it's a very good school about the industry. So,
I'm sure.
Yeah, you learn everything there is to do from the beginning of the conception of the book until the promoting and the publicizing and the marketing and the building a platform, everything you learn hands-on. Which is very useful when it comes to, trying to make a living with your writing. So
Right.
Yeah. So, here we are in InterScoop Live. You're self-published. Your book is getting very good reviews. And so
yes.
I'm wondering, this book is about a paranormal thriller. And is this based in any way in your life experience at all? Have you had any paranormal or experiences you want to share?
I believe in the paranormal. I don't believe in demons or that type of mythology. I believe that there are everyone on this planet has a soul. You know, call me crazy or not, it's just my belief. And have I had paranormal experiences? Yeah. There have been times in my life where I felt that I've seen stuff. We live, my brother and I, who again I'm very close with, we were growing up in this house, and we used to watch TV, and out of the corner of our eyes, we'd always see this man walking the hallway. It just, you didn't think anything of it. You thought it was a figment of your imagination. And then, you know, we had our friends over, and our friends were sitting and watching TV, and one friend turned around to me and said, who's the guy walking in the hallway? And so there is something out there. I think there's enough evidence on this, on Earth, to know that there is something that is beyond ourself, that there's this another energy field out there. And, regarding the character Paul in the book Stillwell, no, I haven't lost any, I haven't lost a spouse or, you know, in this case, regarding the story that was purely made up. However, my parents, have bouts of cancer. And it was very scary, and they're happy and alive and healthy, you know, to this day. My father is 9 years in remission, and my mom, I think, is in about 15, 20 years in remission. So they survived it. So that was very, you know, that was more of an experience that I had of, you know, what it would be like if I was a spouse of theirs, seeing the kind of the hell that they have to go through. I mean, cancer is not pretty whatsoever. So I want to convey that through Paul in the book Stillwell.
Yeah, and you know what? I watch a lot of on the, you know, History Channel, Science Channel. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of documentaries about the paranormal. And just the other night, I was watching a documentary that even was talking about some quantum physics scientists that are actually proven that there is something contained in a portion of our brain that actually disappears after death. So now they're So now they're talking about you know, that couple of grams theory when somebody dies that you lose a little bit of a weight, and they were saying that was a, so they're saying that that is actually a possibility because
I believe it. I believe it. People, we're too, for us to believe that this is it, that you live your life and you die, and for people to believe that there's nothing beyond, that wouldn't be the purpose of life. You know, the purpose of life is to grow and get bigger, and I feel that, you know, that's what happens after we die, is we grow, we move to a new level. It has to be. You know, I wouldn't accept another answer of saying, oh, you just, that's it, you black out, you're done. It can't be. You know, and I'm going to keep writing about it because it's a fascinating subject.
It sure is, and I really, really hope you keep writing about it.
Thank you.
Have you had any experiences with mediums?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love mediums. Do I believe all the mediums? No, I think a lot of them are a lot of snake oil salesmen out there, a lot of fake ones, you know, a lot of you know, ones who just want to take your money and then just kind of read you cold. I do believe that there is a fraud portion of that, but there is one particular medium who I based in my book, Georgia Okin, the psychic. I based it on this one guy on Long Island, and I go to him frequently. My family goes to him frequently. We promote him frequently. His books are available on Amazon, and he has communicated with the other side, and I've been there, and he's told me stuff that I didn't even know was accurate until I found out months or years later that it was accurate. So, yeah, there's a medium on Long Island, and anyone who's kind of in that circuit will know who I'm talking about. He is the gold standard of psychic mediums, and my family has been going to him for about 25 years now, 30 years, and, you know, we don't plan on stopping because he tremendous guidance that he provides.
Yeah. I went to your website, and I've seen your blog, and I was reading your blog, and there is this trend of people buying haunted houses, and I remember that before in the real estate, you had to notify, because I took a real estate course many years ago in Florida, it was mandatory to notify that it was haunted because people didn't want to buy haunted houses. Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing all this trend of, you know, there's mediums on TV, there's haunted houses that are actually being bought because they're haunted, there's, you know, history, documentaries about haunted houses and the history behind it. I mean, there's so much stuff coming out.
Right.
I wonder why. Is there any theory that you have? Why all of this booming of all these paranormal and even horror books and fantasy? And what's going on?
I feel that people are genuinely interested in the paranormal, and people want to know what happens in life after death. I feel there's this huge boom. Do I necessarily agree with it? Look, I love the show. It's one of my inspirations is the show Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. What those guys do is they go to it's brilliant. I love those three guys. That was a very big inspiration for Stillwell, by the way. Was Ghost Adventures. And I feel that it's just, you know, it's what's hot. I feel that ghosts have always been hot, though. I think people really want to know, you know, what is it? And no one can tell you what it is, and I think that's why people want to know what it is, that no one has a definitive answer. You know there's something that happens. You don't know if it's real. Why do people buy haunted houses? I couldn't give you an answer on that. I mean, these people are probably just fascinated with the history of the house. I mean, that's part of the reason why I wrote Stillwell, was this fascination with old haunted houses on Long Island, you know. people love the subject. It's been like this for thousands and thousands of years. It's a very primal subject that movies are made, books are written, you know, TV shows are made all around, you know, paranormal, and they have, you know, it's fascinating because it's never the same story. It's always it's always a different story, and that's what I think people are really interested in.
And it's very personal, too. It's something that people, when, you know, so I think that what's making the difference, and I wonder if you agree with this, is the reality show on TV showing paranormal stuff. Because before, paranormal and horror stories and all that stuff was always seen as the fiction, as a fiction book, as a fiction movie, as a fiction show or whatnot. But now you're seeing, like, I don't know, the Long Island Medium is on TV. The
Love her.
The Adventures. Yeah, I love her too. The, you know, Ghost Adventures, Penn State show where they show all this stuff. And you're seeing real families that are being hunted and real people that are being hunted. The psychic kids. And, you know, I mean, there's so much reality shows on TV,
right.
There's so many of them that I'm wondering if this is kind of getting the paranormal, giving a paranormal a new credibility that it's real out there. What do you think about that?
I think there are different levels to credibility. I think that the people who really do make contact, you know, they're the credible sources. And then you have the ones who are talking about demons and blood. I don't, you see, that's just my belief, though. I don't feel that that's real. I think that, you know, everything is love and everything is good. And then when, you know, if there is unfinished business, that it's not that the ghost is just sitting there and haunting it. I feel that, you know, they can jump from this portal to the next. But again, I digress. I feel that, I don't know. You know, do I think the Ghost Adventures make contact? The Ghost Adventures crew? Absolutely. Do I think Teresa Caputo talks to the dead? Absolutely. Does the medium that I go to on Long Island, you know, listen to what the dead have to say? Absolutely. But do I feel that there are people out there who are doing it for money and who don't really care about the dead? Yes, I do feel that too. I feel that they don't, that they're just doing it to kind of hop on this new trend, the new bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but unfortunately, there's always opportunities that will come, you know, and so the ones that are credible sometimes get wrongly categorized into a fiction instead of the reality of it. But you know, it comes with a territory, I guess. I think that you can. I take an open and at the same fun approach to it, and so I just, you know, like to have fun with it. At the same time, I'm curious and inquisitive, and I do believe that there's paranormal out there as well. But
definitely,
if I'm going to look for a medium for a serious matter that is important to me, I will be very careful. Because it does affect people's lives, so it's shameful that there are people that would take advantage of other people's feelings, basically, because that's what it is. So I want to tell our listeners to visit your website, because I found it great. There's the Stillwell book trailer. It's so creepy. I saw the Stillwell, and you see you hear the title, and then there's this little well, but you see the bucket moving, or
that was the game plan.
So I want to tell our listeners to go to your website, and it is www.michaelphillipcash.com, and that is Michael PhilipCash.com. I encourage everybody to check out your blog. I loved it. So many beautiful houses. You have stories of the house that was built for the Amityville horror movie, and it's still for sale, said in the blog. But very interesting stuff, very good stuff on your website.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I want to find out, though, what other horror or paranormal stories are coming out. Are you working on anything else currently?
I am. I actually just putting the finishing touches on a new, I wouldn't call it horror. I'd like to, you know, I kind of want to just put this on the record. I don't write horror. I like horror, and I like certain types of horror, But I've read a lot of the horror books, especially from Amazon and these new authors, and anything with blood and guts and gore, it's gratuitous. It's not my style. You know, I like to add a little more mysterious elements to it. Not to say that people don't die in my novels. They do. But I feel that, people just putting it out there because, guy's going to get his head chopped off. This is really cool. It has to be like this. It's just not my theme. I am working on new novels now, a horror/thriller novel called The Hanging Tree. It's going to be out probably in a couple weeks. So we're trying to get a release date by Halloween. It's about a haunted tree on Long Island called The Hanging Tree, and it's inhabited by several ghosts. And the novel, I shouldn't say a novel, it's pretty short, it's a novella. It's about fate and making the right choices, and are people going to make the right choices to affect others? You know, I'm a big believer in fate, destiny, and all those really great words. So, you know, I feel that it should, you know, I hope it gets the same reaction as Stillwell. And I'm working on a few other novels. I have a Victorian ghost novel. It has an element of romance in it. A ghost couple is trying to help out a normal couple having a bad marriage. So I'm almost done with that one. And strangely enough, I'm doing something that's kind of on my bucket list, but I'm jumping into the fantasy realm of novels. I love fantasy and dystopian futures, and I love those type of novels. And I'm starting a new novel. I'm actually about a quarter into it. About a kingdom that is overthrown by evil. A little Shakespeare in there, but it's fun to create your own world, and that's what I love so much about writing, is that you're creating your own universe, and I'm literally creating my own universe in the same vein of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, without copying anything from them, but I'm creating my own little universe and good versus evil, classic good versus evil story.
Oh, that's awesome. I love those kind of books as well. And
great.
I can't wait to see what your fantasy take is.
Yeah. I want to make this into several, this isn't a one-book thing. I mean, I want to do, maybe like an anthology along the lines of Game of Thrones. About struggle and power. I love that stuff. That's fascinating to me. And it has an element of paranormal there, too. I'm going to definitely be including that as well.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Michael Philip Cash, author of Stillwell, A Haunting on Long Island. Stay tuned, because we're going to continue this personal and fun conversation with Michael about the paranormal, writing, and why investing in yourself is important. But in the meantime, you can check out his book, Stillwell, by visiting his website at www.michaelphilipcash.com. And that is www.michaelphilipcash.com. I wonder, though, I mean, you said that you were, before you started writing novels, you were doing screenwrite. And I'm,
yes.
Are you planning on maybe converting, trying to screenwrite any of your books?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Surprisingly, my other book, Brood 10, started out as a screenplay, and I converted it to a novel. So it was kind of the reverse of what you just said. I made it a screenplay, and it got some traction. I won a contest, surprisingly, out of 4,500 contestants online, I came in fourth place, and they're circulating. Yeah, it was unbelievable, and they're circulating the script throughout the agencies, around the studios, and I've already gotten some feedback on it. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that hopefully one day someone will pick that up. And Stillwell, I'm in the process of converting that to a screenplay as well. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I'm going to be converting Stillwell. I feel it kind of goes with the territory that I have the written material, and I know how to write scripts. Script writing is by far much easier than writing a novel. I mean, a script, you need one sentence to describe a room, where in a novel you could describe a room in 10 pages. You know.
I always thought that screenwriting was a lot more difficult for me. And
okay.
I don't understand why. I think it's the picturing in your – it's putting the picture that's in your mind, which has so many details, into something that has to be almost a blanch so that the director can create that world in the movie, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, screenwriting, it's funny. It's fun to jump back and forth between the forms of creativity. I always found that screenwriting was much easier for me because I'm very visual, and I can kind of clump all of those words together in 2 to 3 sentences, which is what an action is on a screenplay. So, in the novel, Brood 10, I hate to bring that up again. I know this interview is more about Stillwell, but in Brood 10, I had a whole first chapter of this hospital scene, but in my screenplay, I had 2 paragraphs on it, two full action sequences on it, and then it was the story started on page 2. So, again, if your brain can delineate the two, if your brain can really, write screenplays, there are great screenwriting books, and my Bible is Save the Cat. I don't know if you ever heard of Save the Cat?
No.
If you're ever interested in writing a screenplay, a guy named Blake Snyder, God rest his soul, I think he passed in 2009, he wrote a book called Save the Cat, and it changed my life when it came to storytelling. I was writing script after script after script without adhering to an actual formula, and then I picked up Save the Cat, and it was life-changing, to say the least, that it breaks down every film in the history of film. Every movie ever made is broken down into 10 categories.
Oh.
And Brood 10 started out as a monster in the house. Same thing with Stillwell, is that I'm creating it as a monster in the house genre. And a monster in the house is just another form of horror/thriller. And you have to create the beats. And if you're hitting your beats on the certain pages, you come up with an amazing, amazing story. And I did beats for all of my books. I didn't just start writing the books. I had to kind of map out where I was going to go. And then the words just start pouring out of your subconscious. I mean, it's fun. It's fascinating. Once you have a roadmap, anybody can write.
It's funny that you say that. I was going to ask you, my next question was going to be about, because I find it, as much as I am well-read in anything that is fantasy, horror, paranormal, and sci-fi, I cannot write it for the life of me. My writing is more, I'm not kidding, it's just ridiculous. My writing is more realistic, it's more based on a true story type of memoir. It's World War II, I'm a World War II nut also. But I try so hard to write like a little short story for my critique group about, I don't know, Lizard Man. And it just comes horrible. It's just not. It's not it. What is the trick of writing all this?
I'm sorry.
What is the trick about being able to write about fantasy and paranormal and all the?
It really, Susan. I got to tell you. This is more of like a conversation than an interview. I think you're great. I think you're amazing. And I was and still am in the same boat. I mean, my novels are fairly short. They're around 225 pages. It's very hard, difficult for me to write a 500-page book or a 600-page book. I mean, maybe I'll get there one day. But I've learned a few things as a writer that has worked for me, and I feel that could work for you. First thing you got to do, I would never tell you, if this worked for me, it could work for you. First thing you got to do is get Save the Cat by Blake Snyder.
Made a note of it.
Okay. Get Save the Cat. Download it today. I don't know if you download on Kindle or if you order it through Amazon, whatever the case. Get it, read it, and really – pick apart what he has to say, because he literally takes every genre in film history in the past 100 years of movie making, and he breaks it down to 10 beats, to 10 genres, and he created his own genres. If you could take one genre and simplify that, so I took, again, the Monster in the House genre, and there are three elements to a good Monster in the House story that's been told since the caveman times. The first is the monster. And if you think about it, the movie Jaws, the movie Aliens, it's the same movie. There's a monster that's attacking something. Okay, so that's the first element of a good Monster in the House movie. The second element you need in a good Monster in the House movie is the house. You have to have something where they can't escape. They can't just pick up, move out of town, and you're done. You have to have something where they can't leave, that they're being haunted or attacked by this monster. So in Jaws, it was the city of Amityville, or Amity, I think. I forget. In Alien, it was the spaceship, Nostromo. So you had, or in Prometheus, it was the star that they were on. They couldn't just pick up and leave, that they were stuck there. You have a monster, you have a house, and the third thing, which was mind-blowing, it was life-changing for me, you need a sin. And the sin is what makes it so it's okay for this monster to attack. And the main character has to change. He has to learn how to destroy this monster, and he's got to change himself. The whole, all books and film are about change, that the character from page one has to be a completely different character by the last page. And Blake explains this to you in his book, that if you have a monster, you have a house, and you have a sin, the sin in Jaws was the mayor wanted to keep the beaches open even though he knew there was a shark in the water. In Alien, I forgot what he said in regards to Alien, but in my other book, in Brood 10, it was about laziness, you know, and not being prepared. You know, take a seven deadly sin and put it into a book. It's all formula, but the formula works. That's the way stories are told.
If I was going to experiment with this, yeah. It's so interesting. I am going to experiment with this, and I will let you.
You have
know.
To.
Yeah.
You have to, and most importantly, the one thing that people don't do that they should be doing is when you read, you gotta write, and when you write, you gotta read. Google can be your best friend on the planet. I'm serious when I say this. If you have a subject that you're fascinated, you said a World War II, incorporate something paranormal with World War II and follow the beat sheet that he has in his book. And the beat sheet, by page one of a screenplay, you have to have the opening image. By page 10, you have to have all the major players introduced. By page 12, you have to have the catalyst. And this is how I write my books. For me to sit down and just start pouring away, there's no map. You don't have anything to flesh it out and to, you know, take you from point A to point B. You got to have a B story by page 30. By page 30 to 55, and this is just strictly on screenplays, you got to have the fun and games, the promise of the premise. It's not even fun watching movies anymore because you're saying, okay, here comes the B story 30 minutes into the movie, and there it is, like clockwork. you got to research this stuff because this is where I am today. Is that now I had my horror novel, The Brood 10. I have my paranormal thriller novel, Stillwell. I have my novella, Hanging Tree, and now I'm doing fantasy. You know, and I'm doing another ghost story. You know, but I wouldn't be able to write any of this if I didn't have a roadmap to get me throughout the story. And the only way to do that is to beat out the different pages. You got to pick up Save the Cat. It will change your life.
Oh, 100%. I made a note of it. Yeah, this is very, very interesting to me because I can write anything that occurs to me into a story as long as there wasn't anything, I guess, that frightens me or scares me or I don't think I know enough about. You know what I mean? Like on sci-fi, there's so much scientific language or whatever. But I never thought about using a roadmap because that's not the style that I have been writing on. My book series came up with 100 pages of a guideline that came out of my parents' past and people that I know and stuff like that. So it was a different approach how I began writing. But this is very interesting. I am going to, listeners, I am experimenting with Michael's system here. So
it works, Susan. It works. I would, you know, If you can write a 100-page screenplay with the right beats, first make your roadmap, then make the beats, and then write your screenplay, the book just comes to you. It happens. I can't explain it. It's your subconscious working. If you want to really get the motivation and the drive to do it, pick up Just Ask the Universe. This book changed my life.
And I'm writing it.
And it's all real. It's called Just Ask the Universe by Michael Samuels. It will change your life. It will create a blueprint for you to create what you want to create and how you want to create it. It was fascinating. Great book.
You get a commission for all these books that you're
Listen, I could sit and talk about self-help. Self-help is how this all started. I mean, all of us, you know, my life wasn't always peachy keen. I mean, I had to learn how to program my subconscious mind to get to where I am today, and that's what's all about. And the first person who taught me about that was Anthony Robbins many moons ago. Mm-hmm. Anthony Robbins, I took his course, and it was a breakthrough for me.
Yeah, I believe in self-help as well. Everything that I've learned so in my life, other than going to college and whatever, has been self-taught.
Yeah.
So or read about or, but.
Yep.
And, it's just the way life moves, and it's your willingness of growing inside out that makes things better for you.
Absolutely.
I could talk to you about all this all day, but we do have a time limit. So,
okay.
Before we go, I really want to, first, listeners, check out his book. It's great. I'm reading it. I'm not going to give it away, so you're going to have to look for it. It's Still Well. And you can learn more about it at Michael's website, and that is www.michaelphillipcash.com. I also encourage you to visit the blog if you're looking for a haunted house, because he has a few pictures of and stories about Long Island haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I wonder about Michael. You say you believe in this self-help, and you're writing all these books, and they're coming pretty quickly, one after the other, and you seem to be so knowledgeable on what you're doing and so focused. What would you tell yourself before you started that you know now? What have you learned about your journey, that took you to be an author and having the life that you have today? What would you tell yourself?
It's an amazing question. That's a great question. What have I learned from myself? I learned that you really can do anything. That the world is yours. Everything that we want as people, as human beings, is all around us. We just have to grasp for it. We have to make the action. I've read thousands of books on self-help and law of attraction, and they all say, ask for it and it'll come, ask for it and it'll come. That's not what it's about. It's about who you become as a person while you're getting the stuff that you're getting. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that I've learned is that you can accomplish whatever you want. Here I am. I wouldn't say I was a nobody. I mean, I was a normal guy living in a normal home with a normal family. I have a mortgage. And I have books on Amazon. And I'm generating money from it. And I'm helping people learn about stories, and if I can do this, anybody can do this. Anyone can self-publish. It doesn't matter if you're a good writer or not. I don't think I'm a great writer. I think I'm a good writer. I've read really great writers. Anyone can do this because everything is so accessible now. Google, like I said, I hate to sound redundant, Google can be your best friend. You could learn stuff. You could learn about yourself, and there are tools out there on limited tools. If you're willing to invest in them and invest in yourself and give yourself time to grow as a person and just learn from things that you would have never thought to have learned from, try new things, do new things, do something that you would have never thought to have done before. I would have never thought to have written a novel until I read that book. I said, I'm going to write a novel because I can, because I will. And if nothing happens, listen, I've been writing scripts since I'm 16 years old, and I sat down with major producers and directors, big names in the entertainment industry, and some of them loved my scripts and some of them hated them, but I still did it, and it still turned me into what I am today. Steve Jobs said one of the most fascinating things in the world. He said, you can't connect the dots, and I'm paraphrasing here, you can't connect the dots moving forward. You don't know where your life is going to go, but you could always connect the dots going backwards to where you got to this point. And I can certainly connect the dots to where I am, where I have two novels out now. I have many more coming. And I did this all because I believed in myself. I made time for myself. And I took the necessary steps because thoughts really do create things. That if you think that you're going to create novels, you can do it. Nothing is stopping you. There's only one thing that would stop you, and it's yourself. And I don't mean to sound all gaga and, you know, all Tony Robbins on you, but it's the truth. There's
no,
not, if you program.
It's very well said, because most of the times, and unfortunately, most of us learn this when we are older, you know, because life
right.
will teach you the, exactly what you're saying, you know, throughout the years. But sometimes when you finally get it, you think that you can't really just start over on something or search for your long lost dream that you never followed, or, well, guess what? You can.
Right.
You know, and it's just do it. It's like the commercial. Just do it. Just go.
Just do it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If you're going to wait for someday, someday is not a day of the week. Mm-hmm. You have to make the plan. You got to get the info, and you have to follow. And this is what Anthony Robbins taught me many years ago. You have to follow people who are successful. And I consider myself a success in this field because I am self-published, because I am Stillwell was number one on Amazon Paranormal. That's a success. And you're right, maybe I don't have the same success as someone like Stephen King, but maybe I'll get there one day. But I can't say I didn't try. And that's what you're doing. You got to try it. And if it doesn't work, try another route. Don't give up. You know, just keep pressing forward, and one day your dream will come true. I know that's very Walt Disney-esque, but the guy had it. He nailed it 100%. Walt Disney knew that your dreams will come true. If, you know, and I know that now because I watch the Disney movies with my kids, you know. And it's the same thing with self-publishing. The tools are there. Everything is there for you, for your benefit. Take the time and invest in it, and maybe something fun is going to happen. You also have to enjoy the process while you're doing it. If you're going to be miserable and not have fun and, you know, oh, I don't really want to do this.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, forget
it. A job is not a job when you love it. A job is not a job when you love it, and I love what I'm doing. I'm having a blast.
I agree with you 100%. And very, very, very wise words to those of you that are thinking of, you know, writing something and you're trying to figure out where to start. All you have to do is just pick up a pencil and a piece of paper if you don't even have a computer in front of you at that time, and start daydreaming on it, you know?
That's exactly right.
Yep. So thank you so much for being here. Again, you're welcome.
Thank you. I had a great time. This was so much fun. I really had a great time.
No, this is my passion other than writing, so there you go.
That's great. That's great. Keep it up. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. You do too. And I will let you know after I'm done reading your book what I think about it. But I'm not giving it away here, listeners, so you better go check it out. It's available everywhere. And the title, again, is Stillwell by Michael Philip Cash. Check out his website again at www.michaelphilipcash.com. And thank you for being here. Until next time.